And you know, I don't really have anything new, but the point of this is to review the old, but then also to give you opportunities to ask questions of me, of us. And so it's informal. This is not a sermon or a lecture, but I do have information I want to communicate. But while I'm talking to you, if you have a question about what I say, raise your hand. Or if you have a comment, raise your hand. Now, to be fair, I may be in the middle of a thought, or it might not be the right time to engage with a question, so I might have to tell you to wait. Or if you ask a lot of questions, I might just have to move to other people as well. And so that's what we'll be doing tonight. So just to start off by framing this up, let me define romance. Think about what is romance. Romance involves feelings of love that God has designed to end in marriage. That if those feelings are allowed to express themselves fully and finally in actions and in words, then what you have is marriage. So I'll put it differently. Romance ultimately desires emotional and physical closeness that is designed to happen between a man and a woman in marriage. Okay? So now I'm going to use that word romance. I'm going to put it in two different kinds of contexts, okay? One is recreational romance. What do you think the word recreation means? Somebody. Sophie.
Just like for fun.
Yeah, fun. A fun romance. For fun. Who's fun for? Just all of us, you know? Just having fun. No, it's for ourselves. Now, fun might not be the whole picture. So does anyone have another idea about what recreational might be? Yes. Yeah.
Which is where, like, it's not like a really big deal. It's not like you're playing professional sports. You know, there's not really some huge outcome.
No big deal. Not trying to achieve a goal is really important. So, goalless. Yes.
I guess it would be like romance where you get a lot of the perks of being in a relationship without the commitment.
Yeah, perks with no commitment.
Physical perks.
Physical, emotional. Right? Yeah, that's good. Here's how I'm going to define it. Recreational romance is having a romance with someone else for your own pleasure. Therefore, no commitments. Therefore, no goals except your own pleasure. Recreational romance is trying to explore your feelings with no intention at all about marriage, without trying to protect the other person for their future spouse. It's playing games, right? Romantic games with feelings that God has designed ultimately to end in marriage. Now, the Bible does not approve of these kinds of relationships because they're selfish. The Bible never represents these as well. You see them in the Old Testament, certain ones where people have acted selfishly, sexually toward one another without intention to marry, and it's God condemns it. It's horrible. And so recreational romance is not good. Now, that's not to say that a true romance can't involve fun and can't involve, you know, personal enjoyment of this. Certainly they do. But recreational romance, the way I'm defining it, is selfish. The second kind of romance is intentional romance. Now, intentional romance means, that word intention means that there's a purpose, right? An end goal. And intentional romances are only for people who are able to get married. Okay, so the way I'm defining it, an intentional romance is only for those who are able to get married. And so what does it mean that you're able? Well, I'll just tell you right now, most of you in this room are not. You're not old enough, right? You're not old enough to get married. And how do we know that's important? Well, God presented Adam and Eve to one another when they were old enough to get married. That's the original model of a wedding and of a marriage. And they were adults. And they married as adults. You have to be adult to get married. And so I want to ask, think about this. Are you ready, willing, and able to marry? So what is ready. Well, it means you're old enough, but also spiritually mature enough. What do you think that would mean, that you would be mature enough in Christ to get married? Any thoughts? Sophie?
Able to make decisions wisely and to think about what God would want you to do.
Yeah, there's some thing, some degree in which you're able to think from the Bible for yourself wisely about Jesus. That would be the goal before marriage. What about willing to get married? You think about that. It means, is it something you want? You know, marriage is not a requirement in the Bible. It's not a command, thou shalt get married. It's a normal pattern, but you shouldn't get married just because you feel like you have to, right? So you should want to get married, and there needs to be this sense of calling. Do you think of marriage as a calling? Like, you know, I've been called to pastor at First Baptist Church, you know? You could be called to different vocations in your life. You're called to the church you're at. So whatever church you've joined, that should be considered a call. You are called to that church. And the same is true with a marriage. It should be a calling. And so has God called you to marriage, and are you willing to be a faithful spouse? So are you ready to get married? Are you yes?
Could you define recreational?
Recreational is having a romance with someone else selfishly for your own pleasure. So you're ready to get married, and most of you are not, right? Second, are you willing to get married? Third, are you able to get married? And that means, can you provide for your spouse? Do you have the means to get married? So I'm thinking mostly of men here, the guys. When you're a man, you should only get married if you can provide. Now, what does that mean? I don't think it means that you need to be rich at all. It just means you're able to provide, which can mean at a very low level, depending, you know? And so, I mean, Joy and I got married, and I didn't have anything. I was a poor student in seminary, and, you know, was working a job at nights trying to pay for seminary, and so.
Our first budget we worked out had $4 wiggle room.
Yeah, we had a $4 edge on the budget. So I really don't think you've got to, you know, some people have this idea, I need to have my career fully established and, you know, getting promotions before I will ever get married. I think that's a bad idea. I don't think you need to be fully established in your career, getting promotions, and you're 30 or 32 or 38 before you get married, you know? So get married when the Lord brings someone who you're called to marry, if you're able to do so. So are you ready, willing, and able? Now, if you're not ready, willing, and able to get married, you should not have an intentional romance. Now, here's what I mean by that. An intentional romance, you ready, is an exclusive. That means not including others. It's just exclusive, you and one other person in a one-on-one romantic relationship that's between a man and a woman. Exclusive, one-on-one romantic relationship. The goal of an intentional romance is to see whether or not you want to marry that person. Now, hear this very carefully. An intentional romance, some people will disagree with Pastor Tom, all right? But I have to give you what I think is wise here. And biblically, I think looking at the scripture, that romance has to be intentional because God designed it that way, right? However, I don't think you need to know you're going to marry someone before you even start to have a relationship with them. I think that's way too much to require. I just think it has to be someone that you're looking at that you think, hey, I see that person, and that's someone I think I could marry, and I'm willing to explore this, right? So we're going to get into more of that in just a second. But you should only start an intentional romance with someone you think you could commit yourself to forever. Maybe, right? Think you could commit yourself to forever, maybe. Someone who looks marriable, who seems marriable. Do you have questions about this? Anybody have a question yet? Okay. So, what about all of you people in here who can't get married yet? Huh? Well, we're telling you these things because one day you'll be of an age where you have to decide, am I going to marry or not? But what about you right now? Because most all of you aren't even in this position that I've described yet. Well, the Bible says that you should treat one another like brothers and sisters. right? Like brothers and sisters. And what does that mean? How should you treat one another as guys and girls? Well, the Bible teaches that you should treat each other like brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters are not and should not be. If they are, that's a problem. But they should not be mushy, romantic, right? Most brother-sister relationships are such that that's my sister. She's part of my family. I love her as my sister, but she's not my best friend. My closest friends are other guys, right? And if you're a sister, your closest friend's not your brother, probably, you know, but other girls. And so that's how we're supposed to think of each other. There's a certain distance between guys and girls before you're able to marry. Now, you may not feel that distance. That might feel differently because you can still feel romantically toward each other right now, no question. But you're to treat each other like brothers and sisters with a certain measure of distance that you're not entering into an emotional entanglement, wrapped up in emotionally and sharing your deepest thoughts and feelings with one another. You're kind to each other. Guys, open the door for the girls like you would your sisters, I hope. You know, serve them, but don't get all wrapped up emotionally with them and don't start some sort of a romance with them. It's not the time for it. It's not right for that. And so remember that though you're to treat each other like brothers and sisters, you're not actually brothers and sisters. So a brother might tell his sister, I love you. Right? I mean, maybe grudgingly sometimes, maybe. But you do. Might tell your sister, I love you. But you know what? You never tell that to someone who's not your actual biological sister. Guys, you don't use your words like that. You don't say, I love you. You don't speak romantically with those kinds of words to girls who are your sisters in Christ. Okay, any questions at this point? All right, so let's say you're old enough to get married. What do you do then? How do you do this? Well, what kind of person should you marry? You tell me. This is time for you to answer. Yes. Somebody who loves God. Yes, if you're a Christian, the Bible says that you should only look to be getting involved in a close relationship with them that looks toward marriage with someone who's a believer. The Bible says that plainly in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So you don't get into a romantic relationship that could end in marriage with a lost person. That's not serving the goal, right? Of marriage, which is the end goal of all romantic feelings. There is no place for romantic expression in the Bible in full outside of marriage. And so you're looking for another Christian. That's the first thing. Second thing, what's something else you should look for in a person before you get romantically involved with them? You're old enough to, we're talking about adults now, right? These are all adults that we're talking about. So first that they're Christian, second, yes. And what I hear you saying is they need to have high moral character. Someone who's trustworthy, who's dependable, that they keep their word. When they say something, they do it. So they're Christ-like in that way, right? So there needs to be a godliness. They're certainly not going to be perfect, but they need to be godly. Yes.
Someone that you're attracted to.
That's really important. And I used to give this talk, and people worried that I didn't mention that because some people feel like that, you know, if you're a Christian and she's a Christian, or you're a Christian, he's a Christian, and, you know, you're both godly and kind of go in the same direction, you don't really feel anything for each other, well, just go ahead and get married and God will make the feelings come. But, you know, I really don't believe that that's wise. You know, the Bible says in Song of Solomon 4:9, you have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. And so she needs to captivate you. You're not doing that person a service if you marry them and you don't feel attracted to them. You know, that's not serving them. You shouldn't do that. It's not kind to the other person. Yes?
Should be someone you're compatible with that you know you can get along with?
Yeah, that's along the same lines. So attracted to, you know, she is a word compatible with. That just means that personally you just mesh. So there's, look, it's not all about that person's godly and you're godly. That's fundamental. You know, and you both want to get married and you're both kind of going the same direction. There does have to be that intangible attraction. I guess I need to counterbalance it with one thing. In our culture, there can be an unreasonable and sinful desire for some sort of physical, emotional excellence in another. And it's bombarding us from, you know, radio and television and, you know, internet and everything. And we can get our priorities all out of whack there. So, you know, guys, you shouldn't be looking for some model that's been modified, you know, by computers to look more beautiful than a human being's even designed to ever look. You know what I mean? And girls, you know, I don't know exactly what it is on your side, but same thing. You know? So you can have two, you can have unrealistic expectations, and but you should also only marry someone that you're attracted to. What else? We have more, yes. Very important. You need to marry someone who respects you. What would you say that means? Anybody? How would you define respect? Yes.
Someone who is going to help you in your relationship with God and your relationship with each other, and they're going to point you in the right direction and always make sure they're taking care of you and not hurting you in any way.
Yes, that's love, I think. Respect, though, is hard to define. What it means is they honor you, that when you speak, they listen and they pay attention and they take you seriously. And if you say something, you know, like, I would prefer that you not do that, they listen and they back off and they hear you. So respect is, if they disrespect you, they do whatever they want regardless of what you say, right? If they respect you, though, then they hear what you say and they honor it, right? I'm going to put this in here. You should only have an intentional romance with someone if wise counselors tell you it's a good idea. If everyone around you who loves you and knows you and is wise is saying, not so sure about that, you need to really back off and take a second look and not be so bold in yourself that you think you know better than everybody because you see something no one else does. You need to listen to people. So who are the people that God has put into your life to be wise counselors already? Yes.
Your parents.
The Bible says honor your father and mother. I think you should ask your parents before you get involved in one of these relationships like this. See what they think. Get their counsel about it. Seek direction from them. Yes. Yeah, church leaders. So godly people at church, but pastors as well. Come and see pastor. Say, what do you think? Here's the situation. Here's what this person's like. Here's what I know about them. You know, here's how it's gone down. What do you think about it? And the pastors can sometimes give you wise counsel. Sophie.
Other people who are married.
Other people who are married, who are godly Christians, who you would trust to give you wise counsel. Now listen, on this one, let me say that everyone's not qualified to give you wise counsel. You know, you should not just listen to anyone. So you've got friends, you know, some people who you know, and they're fun to be around, and they give you their opinion, and you're like, yeah, I like that opinion. But it doesn't mean it's wise. You know? So filter that through, you want wise counsel. And the definition of wise counsel is counsel that's rooted in the soil of Scripture and fueled by the gospel and centered on Jesus, right? That's wise counsel. So on that note, only have an intentional relationship with someone that God's word says it's wise to marry. Do you know where to look for what kind of person to marry in the Bible? Guys, what chapter should you look at for a godly woman?
Proverbs
31. But not just that, really the whole Bible, you know? Because a Christian woman isn't just Proverbs 31. She has the character of Christ. She's made in the image of God. She's to reflect, you know, Jesus. And so don't just limit it to Proverbs 31, but that is a good place to go to look. Do you know what? That there's a chapter for men that I've settled on that I think is a good chapter to go to as a parallel to Proverbs 31. Job 31. The Job 31 man and the Proverbs 31 woman. So ladies, look at Job 31. And what you'll see in Job 31 is a servant man who protects his eyes, who doesn't look at things he shouldn't look at, a godly man who takes care of widows and orphans, a godly man who is interested in taking care of the poor even and taking care of those who are in his charge, who he has leadership over. A godly man is one who looks after others and protects the weak and doesn't exploit or take advantage of them. That's a godly man, a man that you should look to, that kind of man to marry. And then, this could be first on the list, but I put it last kind of as a maybe most important thing. You should pray and seek wisdom from God yourself. Pray and seek God. Ask God, God, should I have a relationship with this person? Is this something I should get involved with? Do not leave the Lord out of this. You personally go to him and pray and ask him for wisdom. James says that, doesn't it? It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. And the Lord gives freely to all who asks, but you must believe and not doubt, right? So seek wisdom from God. Okay, now, any questions here before we move on? All right, so now here's a... Yes, sir. So Brother Fred says, what should you do if someone begins to show or develop a romantic interest in you and now's not the time? You have to speak up and tell them and say the way that you've been talking to me and have a conversation with them. And listen, I know that's not comfortable. I know it might be like, well, maybe they'll stop and let's see how long this goes on. And, you know, I can put up with this so far and I don't want to mess up our friendship. But if they are crossing the line and becoming romantic with you, you may even like it to a degree, but you know it's wrong, and so you feel guilty, but you like it, and it's all this back and forth. But they're crossing lines, and they're saying things they shouldn't say, maybe touching you, all that being kind of handsy and whatever with you. And what do you do? Well, you say, listen, you're my brother or sister. Usually it's a guy who would do this, but my brother or sister in Christ. But I need to ask you to stop speaking the way you have to me and doing the things you have because I'm not interested in and cannot have a romantic relationship at this time. So please stop. And then if they don't, you get someone else involved. This is, frankly, it's as a low-level enemy. If they don't respect you after you've talked to them about it, who are they interested in? We talked about loving your interested, loving your enemies. They're interested in them. If you've just said, back off, and they don't back off, they're not respecting you, and they're not interested in you. They're interested in them, purely. And so you need to get someone else involved if they don't stop and back off after you ask them. Now, sometimes I think it could be innocent. There could be some people that just don't know where the appropriate lines are, and they let their hearts just come out of their mouths and their hands and everything, and you tell them, listen, please don't do that, you know? And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, and then it's over. Great, you know? But if they don't stop, you need to make sure that they do and get someone else involved. I think you need an adult, frankly. Okay, so the next thing. So now we're back on adults, right? So we're off of young people like you. And we're back on adults. How do you get to know someone well enough to know whether or not you want an intentional romance? So these are marryable people. These are people who are old enough to get married. How do they get to know each other well enough to see if they even want to start an intentional romance? Now, this one I wrestled with because I'm not sure how to answer it. I'll just be honest with you. I don't think there's a clear-cut answer in the Bible of how you get to know someone. There are all these, some Christians really believe in very strict rules here, and I respect that, but I don't because I feel bound. I can only say what I think the Bible says. And I'm a pastor, and my job is to try not to go beyond the Bible, but I'm reluctant to give you rules, and I'm not going to give you rules here about once you're an adult, how do you get to know someone well enough to know whether or not you're going to get in an intentional relationship or romance. But one way is in groups. That's an easy way, right? You're out with friends. You're in groups of people that are, you know, same age, and you know, men and women together. And you can talk to each other in groups, and there are all kinds of formats and venues for that. That's a good thing, where you're not just showing individual attention to one person, but you're knowing them in groups. Come to church, right? That's a great way to get to know others and to get to know them in the context of a godly environment, means of grace. Observe each other. Is this person interested in Christ? Is this person a servant? If you're a young woman, is this someone who can lead me in the Word of God? Another great way to get to know people before you get into an intentional relationship, when you're an adult, spend time with other families. Mixed groups of friends can spend time in each other's homes. It's good to know each other in the context of families. And then I would also say this. Some people disagree with me about this, so go ask your parents. You know, if y'all disagree, fine. But I believe one-on-one conversations are just fine between grown adults who are of marriageable age. And so if there's a woman that you're interested in and you're a man, and you know, or if you're a woman and there's a man, I don't think there's any problem having one-on-one conversations with them if you are of marriageable age. But beware of this, okay? I want to tell you something here. The more one-on-one conversations you have with someone, the less intentional it can become. So you're just talking about whatever, and your heart's getting involved, and you know that's all happening, but you haven't talked and haven't planned, and you're not even decided on this person, and it's just happening. That can become an accidental type of relationship. And that's the only thing I'd want to avoid. I would say, you know, God and his providence can do anything. There are some people who have accidental relationships, and, you know, 50 years later, they're happily married, and they thank the Lord for it, and, you know, they might say we would have done things differently. So God can use any means. However, on the front end, I would recommend you and counsel you to be thoughtful and intentional about it, not accidental. So don't let your feelings guide this process. You know, that's the American way, is, you know, we just talk and we see how each other are, and we just, you know, our feelings get involved and it just sort of magically happens and there's no intentionality. That I think is wrong. It's a lie. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's a good memory. So another very important way, if you want to know somebody, get to know what they're like, how does this guy, if you're a girl, and you're an adult woman and he's an adult man, how does he treat his father and mother? What does he say about them? And this one might blow your mind, but I got this from Fred, so I don't get credit for it. But if you're a woman and you're looking at this adult man, you're an adult woman, and how does his father treat his mother? Right? So if you're a girl looking at a man, that man has learned from his dad, whether he knows it or not, how to be a husband. How does his father treat his mother? And Fred also did this. He said, what would it look like for his father and your mother to be married? If you're a woman, you're looking at this man, what would it look like for his father and your mother to be married? Because whether we like it or not, we carry a lot of replication. It's not identical, but from our parents. I've got a lot of my dad in me. It's there, right? You have a lot of your father or your mother in you. And also the other one influences you as well. So both of your parents tremendously influence you. All right, so how to get to know each other, that's not a very clear answer. I think groups, I think one-on-one is fine, but I would just caution to be intentional if you're one-on-one, thoughtful, careful. What else? Questions from anyone? Jacqueline.
This one goes back to the word for us. If you're supposed to look at other, like a boy looks at a girl or a girl looks at a boy as siblings, how will you look at them when it's time to be intentional, if you're always looking at them?
So Jacqueline asks a great question. So if you're always looking at each other right now, you know, some of you are getting closer to being marriable age, right? I don't know if high school students, some of you guys. So if you're always looking at each other as brother and sister, how can you then transition to looking at each other as maybe for intentional romance later? Well, you all have feelings now. You notice each other now. There are different ones of you that you respect between each other and may have attractions to between each other. And I'm not saying that when you treat each other like brothers and sisters, that all that's gone. You need to be careful about letting that feeling get out of control now because it's desiring something that isn't for you right now. Okay? So that's true. However, the feeling can be there and is there. And that will be there in the future as well. But right now, what you need to be is guarded and not to express that to someone else right now. So you treat them, listen to that word very carefully, you treat each other like brothers and sisters. I'm not saying that you're going to feel all the time toward each other like brothers and sisters. Do what? Does that make sense? Does anybody want to say anything else or a question on that? Landon.
This text-savvy world, why you're calling texting?
Yeah, I would say that's like a one-on-one conversation. And I even cautioned adults about going full throttle there without being intentional. And so my thoughts are on texting one-on-one constantly with one person. I mean, if you send it like, you know, hey, you know, we're all coming to the church at this time or whatever. It's an announcement kind of thing. But if you're sharing intimate feelings one-on-one, on and on and on with you shouldn't be doing that at all. That's not what you would do with your sister, right? So, yes.
What if you have a little, like, crush on somebody and, like, you're scared that you tell them they're going to hurt
you? So what if you have a crush on somebody and you're scared that if you tell them they're going to hurt your feelings? Don't tell them. And don't act like you have a crush on them either. They're your sister. Until you're old enough to get married. Until you're an adult who's mature enough to marry. Right? Yes. So young adults go into online dating sites. Yeah. That's another thing that's a matter of, I don't know how all those things are set up. I don't know how they all work, so I'm not sure I can speak to it wisely, but it's a means, and if someone goes in it wisely and cautiously, it's not ideal. It's not an ideal means, because for me, the biggest drawback to a website connection would be you don't really see that person in the context of their lives, you know? But that doesn't mean no, never. I mean, things like that have happened, and they've worked out, but I think you have to be very, very cautious, because the goal would be that you really know the person. And with a website, sometimes they can put on a face for a while and long enough for you to feel like you know them, but you don't. So I would just, those are my thoughts. All right, let's move on, and then we'll have other questions. So, yes, sir, ma'am.
Ella's had her hand up a lot.
I'm so sorry. Thank you for being patient.
I have a question about how to know how the man's dad is small. What if the man doesn't have a dad?
So Ella asks, so when we're comparing the man's dad and your mom, what if the man doesn't have a dad? That's a very good question. And the answer is you can't do it then. You look at how, I would then say you look at how he treats his mom, you know. Look at how he treats all the women in his life. If you're a woman, you need to look carefully at how this man treats other women. And, you know, vice versa, if you're a man looking at a woman that you're considering for marriage, how does she treat all the men in her life? You know, that's important. You need to pay attention to that. She treat them respectfully, you know. She always flirtatious with everybody. You know, that'd be something to notice. Vice versa, is a guy respectful? Is he always treating, is he always flirtatious with everybody? So you want to watch these things. Okay, so next question is, how do you then, if you're an adult and you're ready, willing, and able to marry, how should you start an intentional romance? How does it begin? And there's no one way, right? The Lord puts all different things together, and the Bible doesn't prescribe a right way, so I'm reluctant to do that. So, but here's what I would say. Men, you should feel the burden and the responsibility of starting it. It's your job to initiate. Because that's what that's doing, is that's taking the vulnerability on yourself. You know, a lot of guys today, men today, they grow up and they're, you know, they're 30 or 35 and they won't say anything to the girl. And they just have this relationship and they never open their mouths and they never commit and they never decide, and the girl's being strung along and they're waiting to find out if they can somehow figure out how she'd respond to him or what she would say if he did ask through just feelings. But that's, you see what that's doing? That's protecting yourself from being told no and get lost, you know? Which we as men need to be prepared to be told no and to be willing to say, look, I'm interested in you. You know, you want to explore this. I don't know how you would say it, whatever you would say. You know, are you interested in this? So it's unkind to a woman, and I would even say it's wrong and sinful, and I would go this far, that it's foolish if you're a man to have a close friend as a woman and she keeps on talking to you and you talk to her, but and you think everything's non-romantic and you're just going to stay friends the whole time. She's talking to you lots. You're talking to her, but you're like, I'm not interested in her, but, you know, we can be just friends. Women are made to relate through words. And so when you talk to them and they're sharing with you and you're sharing with them, and if you're not interested, you should stop that with that woman, that kind of close thing going on. Or open your mouth. If you are interested, open your mouth and say something. Yes. Are you gonna tell it?
I'm already going to
tell it. It's in the cards for later. All right, so guys. You need to decide, if you're an adult and you see a woman and you think this is a woman you might be interested in marrying, then speak up and ask her if she's interested in a relationship. Now, let me be clear again. I said this already, but I want to say it again. This stage of it is not asking to become engaged. There's some models of Christian dating, courtship, that where basically you can't say anything or do anything until you basically have decided to get married. And that puts tremendous pressure on the relationship, and I've seen it work out well, but I've also seen it become a total disaster. And frankly, more of the total disaster side. And so I think you should look to get involved in a potential relationship, not fully committing to get married, no pressure like you're going to get married, but you still need to think about, is this someone I really, really sincerely believe I could marry? And you know enough about that person to make that judgment before you begin a one-on-one relationship where your emotions get all involved. It's unkind to that person if you haven't carefully thought about this first. If she's not interested, if you say, are you interested, the men, and she says, no, I'm not, well, then be kind. And back away, and don't keep sharing your heart with her, and don't keep trying to catch her and make her want a relationship with you. Don't try to do this. Just respect her no, and then move on. It's over. She said no. Listen to her words. Listen to her words. If she says no, you move on. Women, Joy's going to talk to y'all, but let me see if I want to. I think we've already said most of this, but should wait for the man to initiate, which means you're the one who responds to him. The way you do this is to receive conversation. If you're not interested in a man and you're a woman and you're not interested in him, what do? And he's talking to you, you just cut it short. You know, you're polite, but you don't carry on a conversation. You just end it as quickly as possible. And you don't start conversations with him that are emotional. And if he doesn't, yes. Oh, Sophie.
If you, by ending the conversation, do you mean asking them, you're telling them that you want to stop the conversation, or just quickly?
So Sophie says, by ending the conversation, do I mean you tell them, let's stop this conversation? No, not necessarily. Not at first. So what you should do, there is a time for that, and I'm going to tell you about it in a minute, but what you should do is just don't keep talking. Even if you might be interested in the topic, but you're not interested in the guy, and he seems to keep coming back to you and starting conversations, you know, and you think, you know, he's doing that a lot. Well, look, cut it off. Just, you know, answer him short answers and walk away. You know? Yes. Do you have a brother?
Yes, sir.
Is it romantic? I knew it wasn't. But do you love him? Would you serve him? Love means, the main Christian definition of love in the Bible is, you know, love is patient, love is kind. Love lives in light of the gospel and keeps the commandments of God. Love fulfills the law, according to Paul. So the expression of love is you don't lie to them, you don't steal from them, you don't covet, you don't murder them. Instead, you do good to them. And so that's how you love. And but I may not be answering your question.
I think what he's saying, I think it goes back to what he said earlier. You're not going to be able, with people who aren't your actual physical brother, to always feel like they're just a platonic brother. Our hearts respond. But what you can do is not act on those feelings. You can say, it's not the time for that. So I'm not going to treat this person differently than the next person. I'm going to show them the same service. I'm going to show them the same kindness. I'm not going to act on that feeling that's there. I'm going to give that feeling to God and put it away. And behave as though there is no feeling like that. That's hard to do, but that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, and I would say if you have a feeling for someone in your age group and you're not adults, you shouldn't be trying to spend a lot of time around that person and hang around them and nurture that feeling inside of yourself so it grows and it'll make you crazy, you know? You should back off. You need some distance if you have that kind of feeling. Treat them like brothers or sisters still, but don't nurse that and let it blow up, because where is it going to go? Nowhere good, you know, at your age. Brother Fred. That's a very good question. So from the guy's perspective, if she says no and you're determined, okay, the question is, so what if you're a guy and you asked, is a girl willing to start a relationship with you, and she says no, and your heart is dashed and you're discouraged and you have these feelings, you can't just shut them off, what do you do with them? You know, there's no quick way through it, I don't think. But what you have to do is recognize that her no is really God's no. Because God rules over all things. He's in control of all things. And so a no is God's no, number one. And that means that God is calling you to contentment in him. And you have to wrestle with yourself. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient for you? He's saying no right now. It doesn't mean he'll say no forever. It doesn't mean you're not going to be married one day. You may not be able to see how you can be married. You know, you might be that emotionally involved. And yet God has said no right then. And so you seek Christ. You seek contentment in him. I'd pour myself into his word and prayer and remember his love for me, that his no isn't because he hates me, and that it's actually for me. And what seems like something that's against me may be, and has to be, if God is my God and I am his child, that no from that girl is my protection. It is my protection. And it's training me to be more like Jesus somehow. And so I need to run this race looking to Jesus and press on. So, yes.
There's some girls I really am glad said no to Tom.
Yeah, I got told no 3 times. Because I was like, you want an intentional relationship that might end in marriage? And they're like, yeah. And then they're like, no. But thank the Lord, because I got the very best one for me. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The very, very best one for me. So, yes. Right. Yeah, so he's just talking about providences and how they're all interlaced. Yeah, I mean, that is. It's all interconnected. Yes.
So, let's say this guy, he notices a girl from his youth that was a good friend, and he was attracted. How would he, and he doesn't want to ruin the friendship, how would he go about saying that he wants to start a relationship, but he doesn't want to?
So you're talking about an adult man,
yes,
and a woman, and they're friends, like brothers and sisters, but now they're old enough to get married. And how do you start or offer to start an intentional relationship with her and not ruin the friendship? There's no way. So not in the sense of continue like you used to. So what you do is, you do just what I said. You say, look, I'm interested in starting a relationship with you. Are you interested? She says, no. Well, you can't have the same kind of relationship you had before, because your feelings are all involved and she knows it. And so you have to then back off. Yeah. But it's worth asking the question if you're interested. So this is where men have to be the ones to take the vulnerability. I've said before, it's like we put our heads on the chopping block, guys, and just say, here, you know, will you have me or not? Chop my head off if not, you know? And that's, you know, you make yourself vulnerable. Why? Because you don't want to make her vulnerable. You don't want to drag her along. You want to make yourself vulnerable. And then if she says no, it's no. I think yours was up first. Yeah, and I know that you're not alone. So she's saying that she feels, if she tells anyone no, she feels bad for it. Well, here's how I would encourage you. Is you have to retrain your thinking based on really the talk that I gave, the sermon that I gave about loving. How do you love your enemies, or even a tough love? That it what you need to know as a woman is when you tell a guy no and you're that clear, you are being the kindest you can possibly be to that man. And I'm telling you as a man, because if you say, maybe, but not right now, he goes into torment. I mean, the guy is tortured. He's thinking, well, maybe, what do I do? I'm just hanging on. If it's no, you tell him no, and he feels horrible, but you have just done him a great kindness, because now he has clarity. He knows. It's a no. That's clear. It's no. Now I can move on. Right? So Noah is gracious. Sophie.
So what if this guy that you've been talking to, like, as an adult, and he asks you if you want to start a relationship with him, but you haven't had, really had time to, like, talk to your parents about it or really consider this question? What would you say?
That is a great question. So what if the guy has decided he knows you well enough to ask you for an intentional relationship, but you're not sure? And you're a girl, and you're in the responding position, and he's like, you know, you want to start a relationship? And you're like, I don't know if I know you well enough for that, you know? Well, frankly, you have to still decide, and it shouldn't, as a woman, if I'm counseling you as a man, I would say, you should still say yes or no to that. So you're forced to decide on his timetable. If he says you want to start an intentional relationship and you're like, well, maybe, but I don't know, that's actually a no, not no. And if he's like, ever, maybe one day, well, not right now, and we can stay in our same, you know, we can continue if we're at church, you know, seeing each other and stuff. But if he's a man that you are interested in, then you say yes. But I think the timetable moves along his timetable, and it even says something about him already to you, that if he's asking you for a relationship when you don't know him well enough, that says something about his judgment already. So, okay, well, last question, and then we're going to move on. Yes? I'm not sure I followed you. Talk to me afterwards. All right. Now that was the last one. We'll have time for questions later, though. Okay. All right. So this is the last part of that's mine, and it is a story about steak. But listen carefully to it. Listen very carefully. Guys and girls, I want to warn you about what a selfish person is like. Selfish people want to use you for themselves. They do not love you. They do not want to serve you. And listen to this. They're actually predators. What's a predator? Someone who wants to eat, consume, at the expense of another. A predator isn't just someone who hits you or literally abuses you in every way, in the external way, but a predator is something in the heart. Someone who is predatory is someone who feeds off of another just for their own pleasure. And so the warning that I'm giving you is a predator will leave you cheap and worthless feeling that way. You'll feel cheap and worthless. And this is a warning to all of you, to the guys and to the girls. And there are two warnings. First, do not be a predator. Second, don't be someone else's prey. And so, here's a metaphor about steak. A man is hungry, and this is a man, but it could be a woman. It works better with a man because men usually like steak. So, I'm using a man. A man is hungry, and he sees a steak, and he wants to eat it. The man does not want to take care of his steak. He doesn't want to love his steak or protect his steak or provide for his steak. He just wants to eat a steak. The steak has his undivided attention until he eats the steak. When a man eats his steak and he's finished his meal, he really doesn't think about it anymore. That was good. And he moves on. He's full. And a man... doesn't who's hungry doesn't really care what kind of steak he eats. Any steak is going to taste good. He might have a preference, but, you know, a steak is a steak. It can fill my belly. It's going to taste good. So a steak is not special to a man. And after a man has eaten a good steak, he gets hungry again. And he might be okay to eat the same kind of steak over and over again. That would satisfy him, but really, he would like a variety of steaks because it's about his tastes being satisfied. Eventually, he's going to want a different cut. He'll want some different seasoning. He's not committed to one steak. He just wants a full belly. Now, a man like that is not a man. It's the opposite of a man. And a woman like that is not a lady. It's the opposite of a lady. A truly loving person will want to serve you and protect you, guard you for your spouse and unto the Lord. A truly loving person will not want to use you or take advantage of you, but will only want to serve you and honor you and not use you to satisfy themselves. So, it's Joy's turn.
Okay, so girls, I wanted to talk to you for a little bit, and I'll try to make this somewhat quick. But I wanted to start kind of with the overall beginning. Thinking through guy-girl relationships starts with big truths. It starts with that God is good, and he does good. And remembering the big picture of what God has done, that he made men and women in the beginning in a perfect relationship with him and with each other, but that the fall broke that. But Jesus came, and he lived, and he died, and he purchased restored relationship to God and to one another. But the most important relationship for you young girls is your relationship to God. You need to think first there that God is forging relationship with you in every circumstance of your life, every single day. Where he has you right now today, he's calling you to know him through Jesus. And in every circumstance that he takes you through, he's calling you to believe him and do what he says. And so you're not too young to do that. Every single one of you, if you learn every day right now to believe God and do what he says, you'll be able to do that in whatever circumstance he puts you in later. You'll be able to believe him and do what he says if he gives you a life of singleness. And you'll be able to believe God and do what he says if he calls you to be in a relationship. So you practice right now, not for or because there might be this relationship out here, but because this is the best life you can have, to know Jesus and to walk with him in his way every single day. So guy-girl relationships are about being made like Jesus. That's what they're about. If God is calling you today to be single, it's about knowing him. And if he puts you in a relationship, it's about knowing him. And being made like Jesus. And that means that relationships are about keeping the Ten Commandments. They're about walking like Jesus walked. So I want to challenge you. If you don't know the Ten Commandments, if you can't recite them, learn them. Know them. Be able to review them in your mind and be able to think through them about yourself. Like, make a habit of this. When you find that you've sinned, you've gotten angry with a sibling, stop and think, okay, what is that? Anger? Which of the commandments does that relate to? It relates to murder. That's the one I broke. I murdered. I need to repent of this. Think these ways. When you have a decision to make about something to do, well, what does God's word say about it? Let me think through the Ten Commandments about this decision. Y'all can't hear me? You need to learn the Ten Commandments and learn to think in them about everything in your life. If living in this world is about believing Jesus and doing what he says, is summarized by the Ten Commandments, learn them, think in them. It will help you evaluate yourself and others in relationships. It will help you think through how to make decisions. So I wanted to kind of retouch from a girl's perspective on some of the things Tom's already said. But one of the things I wrote down was, so if a guy does approach you, you're an adult, and a guy approaches you, why should you be clear with him? Because you're not to bear false witness. That's the reason you tell him clearly yes or no. You be honest with him about where you are, how you're thinking, so that he can walk clearly forward. Why? Because this is loving. That's what Tom already said. And you also need to be honest with yourself. Girls, we can tend to write novels in our heads. You know, so this guy's been talking to me a little more often than usual, and he's someone that I would receive pursuit from. And so, you know, since he's talked to me twice in the last week, you know, he wants to get married. No, he doesn't. He talked to you twice in the last week, which means, guess what? He wanted to talk to you twice in the last week. Period. Full stop. Until he opens his mouth and says so. So you don't lie to yourself. You have to talk to yourself instead of listen to yourself. And you do that by taking yourself back to God's word. So how do you then be a true friend to the guys around you? You don't let them be your close confidant. You don't let them into that relationship unless they're asking for that relationship. Tom already said it. You be careful with how much you share with the guys around you. If you're a young girl not ready, willing, or able to marry, you don't need deep, long conversations with other guys. You just don't. They're not going to help you. They're not going to help him. I promise. You're not the best counselor he could get. He's trying to come get your advice and wanting you to help him think through this or that situation. You feel like you can really be a big help to him. No, you're just going to entangle your heart or his, most likely your own. Send him to, you know, Tom or Brother Fred or my dad, you know, and say, you know what? If you need help with that, you should go talk to those people. And don't let him do that. Don't let him draw your heart out. Why? Because it's stealing something that isn't for now, from later. So again, you're thinking in the Ten Commandments, I'm not ready for this at 13, 15. I don't need to steal from later. So I'm not going to engage in these kind of conversations. I'm not going to steal feelings that aren't mine to have right now. So be aware of how you tick as a woman, and Tom already said this, but part of how you tick as a woman is that you are very relational. You respond to words, to time, to friendship, to kindness, to compliments. You do. It's part of what we're made for. And so how do you handle this if someone gets too close, begins crossing these lines? And so here's where my personal story comes in that Elizabeth was asking for. I had a friend in college. He was on a short list of four people I would have received pursuit from, none of which pursued me, thank the Lord, because I wouldn't have been wise enough to say no, and Tom was the right one. So look, Tom had the grace of being told no, and I had the grace of never being asked. Okay? So you young ladies who feel like, pick me, somebody pick me. I know how you feel. And if God hasn't had somebody pick you, it's for your good. Because he's good, and he does good. And that's how you have to talk to yourself. If I am not in a relationship right now, even though it is a deep desire of mine, it's because God is good. That's how you talk to yourself. So anyway, this guy was on one of that short list of observation. And as time went on, we had different conversations. And I think he had an intuitive sense that it was possible that I could develop feelings because of how close he was. And so every now and then, maybe once a year or so, he'd be like, you know, we're just friends, right? We're good friends, right? And I'd be like, yes, because I didn't know how to admit to him that the way he treated me messed with my heart. Okay, and I'll just tell you that the other three guys on my short list never played with me that way. And he wasn't trying to. I know that now. But at the time, it was very hard to tell. He just was very, he'd give me a big hug when he saw me. He'd compliment me very personally. But that was only occasionally. Most of the time, we just talked about different stuff. Saw each other, talked about different things. And so time goes on, and we hit my junior year, and two things happen simultaneously. He begins to pay more compliments to me and to also kind of let me into, ask my advice about a young lady he wanted to pursue, who's actually now his wife. And it tore me to shreds, because every time he would talk about me, he would tell me how I was his sister and he just loved me like a sister. But it wasn't, I wasn't his sister. And he wasn't really treating me the way he would treat his real sister. And so it was confusing. And it kept pulling my heart out. And I kept going, I don't want to have these feelings for you. I'd actually reached the point where if he had tried to pursue me then, I knew I would have said no, because I knew enough of both of our personalities now that if I married him, we'd never accomplish anything. Neither of us would have been able to make a decision. So I knew I would have wanted to say no, but what do? My feelings keep getting pulled out of me, and I can't make them stop. And what do? How do I handle this? And I felt like, because I was a woman, I shouldn't bring up the issue of feelings or of romance. That's his job to bring that up. And since it hasn't been brought up, I just kind of have to sit here, which was not true. But I came home and talked to Brother Fred at spring break. I said, Brother Fred, what do I do? And he said, well, first of all, you've got to forgive him. And you've got to let go of anger and any anger or bitterness toward him, because he's doing this to you, because he's treating you this way. And then he said, you have to love him enough to tell him the truth. Because for the rest of his life, he's going to deal with women who are not his wife, and he needs to understand what he's doing. So I went back to school and had a very difficult conversation. I cried, he cried, it was terrible. But it was the best thing for us. It was the most loving thing I could do for him. And so I told him, I said, look, I need to admit to you that my feelings are not simply the feelings of a friend. They aren't. And I don't want it to be that way. But here's what's happening. And I had to explain to him that when you tell me you love me, it doesn't matter that you keep telling me you're so glad I'm your sister in Christ. The fact I'm your sister in Christ is the thing that qualifies me to be loved romantically by you, not disqualifies me. I'm not actually your sister. So you can't tell me you love me and think it's not going to affect me. It does. I need you not to pay me close personal compliments. Don't tell me I'm beautiful. Don't tell me how much you admire me for this, that, or the other. Thank you that you do, but I don't need to hear about it. I need you not to tell me those things, because it plays with my heart. And he cried a lot, and he said, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that it was doing this to you. Please forgive me. He said, you know me well enough to know that I don't like conflict, and I will want to avoid talking to you. If I do that, pray about it and come slap me. And I said, okay. And the next time I saw him, he did a great job of being kind and extremely inane in his conversation, but he spoke to me on purpose. And it was beautiful. We were able to go on. The Lord allowed those feelings to quit for me, but you know what? That distance that should have been there before is what came. And guess what? I'm not still really close friends with that guy. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And should have been more so before that. So that's the long story there. But I learned a lot from it about myself, and I hope it is helpful to you. Girls, if a guy is doing that to you, it's okay for you to confront him about it. In fact, you need to. All right, let's hold for questions right now. I do better to get through what I've got, and then we can ask questions. All right. I wanted to tell you young ladies that are a little bit closer to this time when you could marry, that you can take heart. God is not capricious. He doesn't give you a desire to be married just to toy with you. But like all desires, he calls you to trust him to fulfill it in his time and in his way. You may not sin in order to get what you want. He calls you to trust him, to believe him, that he gives daily grace to live where he's called you. And so you get up every day and you believe that God is sovereign. And so you believe what he says in Proverbs 3, 4, and 5, that you can trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. So every day you can get up and you can sit at the foot of the cross and know that God intends good to you. And then you can find the strength to obey right where you are. But you have to remember these things to have the comfort of them. If you don't remember his promises, they won't comfort you. You have to remember his goodness. You have to remember that if he didn't spare his own son, how will he not with him freely give us all things? What are those all things? Everything that will conform us into the image of Jesus. And so you get up today and say, today is about becoming more like Jesus. If I'm single or if I'm in a relationship, it's about being more like Jesus. That's what he's calling me to today. That's what he's doing today. And then I just wanted to kind of end with, so what should you look for? And Tom did this already, and I think his explanation of Job 31 is excellent, a place to go. But I didn't want to leave you without thinking through these things. You need to find a man who knows God and loves God on his own. Not one who's depending on you to get him to church or to be the one concerned about following Christ in the relationship. He's got to already be there. You need a man who has regard to the Ten Commandments. I already said that you need to know them for yourself, but you need to be able to look at him and say, does he think this way? Are they the bumper pads in his life? So I was thinking of this analogy of, you know, when little kids go to a bowling alley and they put up the bumper pads that keep the ball in the lane. Is that how this man lives his life? That the Ten Commandments are the bumper pads that he bumps up against that keep him in God's way? Is that how he's thinking? Is that how you're thinking? So is he committed to Christ's church? Is he committed to having no other gods before God? To carrying his name with weight? Does he respect authority in his life? You know, a man's called to be the loving servant authority in a home. Does he have respect to authority? If he does, if he understands what it is to be under authority, to respect authority, then he is more likely to understand what it is for you to be under his authority. If he knows what it is to be a gracious person who submits himself to bosses, he knows what kind of boss he'd like to have, who would be considerate and kind and not enslaving of him, then he will turn and have the same idea about authority that rests on him. So does he respect authority? Not angry. Do not marry an angry man. Don't do it. Just don't do it. I don't care how good he makes you feel. I don't care if you're the only person that he, girls can get trapped into this. He's so nice to me. He has a little bit of a temper with everybody else, but he would never treat me that way. Yes, he will. Okay? Don't marry an angry man, but kind to all. Not a flirt or someone who is charming. Be very, very aware of charming. Charming is scary, not happy. Because charm is what? We're told this about women, but charm is deceitful, and it's deceitful if it's in a man or a woman. Charming is bad. Don't marry a charming man, but a man who is respectful of women, who knows how to keep that distance and not draw women out. A giving servant who wants to bless you and others with his life, not demand to be served and blessed. Not a manipulator or a pretender, but someone who gives and keeps his word. Someone who's content with the providence of God and his lot in life, who doesn't need you to make him feel like a man. And then the last thing I wanted to say to you is a verse that I lived on before I met Tom, and it's still true. It's still worth living on. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Y'all can ask questions. The last verse of Psalm 27, and I can never remember what that is. Those last verses.
All right, so it's 9 o'clock. So do we need to go, Brother Mitch? Is the
I would say if they have viable questions, they want to continue to find.
Yeah, so everyone know that it's 9 o'clock. But does anyone have a question that you would like to ask, Brother Fred? Amen. Did you all hear that? Yeah. Never, if you're a woman, never marry a man who you feel sorry for. You've asked a lot of questions. So, does anybody else have one? All right. You and I can talk afterwards. We got a couple to talk about. So, let's go ahead and close with prayer.